Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So we are a little later, but I think you're used to flexible time.
Kunya Vihari Jaya. Thank you.
Narabinda, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaja, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kire Sisi Dadha Krishna Gopa Gopinatha Cham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govadam Kire Vrindavan Mathura Dham Kire Navadvip Mayapudham Kire Ganga Maya Muna Mahi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Hare Naam Shankirtan Ki Jai Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gau Premanandi Hare Hare Bol No glories to the assembly bodies. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Chiguranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. So Hare Krishna, thank you very much for coming to this morning class, this little late morning class. I will, in this class, not speak about many complicated subjects, but I would like to summarize my four messages to you and explain two surprises for you. And then open the forum for questions and answers. I am aware that some of our devotees will have to leave towards the end of the class to catch flights. So if I have no chance to say goodbye to you, then I will say goodbye to you now. Thank you for coming and flying here. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There's a very nice verse which I would like to use as an introduction to today's lecture. It's from the 4th canto, 22nd chapter, text 19. Sangama kalu sadhunam Ubayesham sa sammataha. Sorry, a little too high. Sangama kalu sadunam Ubayesham sa sammataha.
Yat sambhashana samprashna savesham mitanotisham. This is spoken by Sanat Kumar, the great saint who visited with his three brothers King Prithu and gave him very important instructions. So he says about a situation which we have here. When there is a congregation of devotees, their discussions, questions and answers become conclusive to both the speaker and the audience. Thus, such a meeting is beneficial for everyone's real happiness. Purport. Hearing discussions among the devotees is the only means to receive the powerful message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For instance, Bhagavad Gita. It has been well known all over the world for a very long time, especially in the Western world. But because the subject matter was not discussed by devotees, there was no effect. Not a single person in the West became Krishna conscious before the Krishna consciousness movement was founded. But when the same Bhagavad Gita was presented as it is through the disciplic succession, the effect of spiritual realization was immediately manifested. I will just take this part of the purport and the text because it's already weighty enough. Let me summarize it for you. The text says, when there is a congregation of devotees and there are discussions, questions and answers, then this becomes conclusive to both the speaker and the audience. This means there's a conclusion. This is how it is. Let's do it. I think in German we would here use the word wegweisend. This discussions are not just some empty words in the space or some propaganda discussion. No. They are actually giving us directions how to live our lives. And this is good for the speaker and the audience. Then it says, thus such a meeting is beneficial for everyone's real happiness. Prabhupada gives an example in his purport about the effect of discussions in a congregation of devotees. He says, the Bhagavad Gita was discussed amongst devotees only after it had become it was very long known in the West. You know, we know in Germany, the Bhagavad Gita had an exceptional reception amongst the German intellectuals. I do know, the Schlegel brothers translated it, Friedrich Rückert translated it. Before that time, in the Romantic area, you know, which went into the Baroque as far as I remember from school, but I was not very good in school, so you know, Romantic time, Baroque time, whenever that was, it was known. There is the Hohe Gedicht, the high poem, which gives the exalted poem actually, but Prabhupada says, although the Gita was known in the West before, only when it was discussed amongst the devotees of Krishna, then there was an effect, a conclusion, and Western people, like all of us, turned into devotees and applied it. So today in my goodbye talk to you, I want to summarize my four messages to you. During the festival, I was trying to preach to you But I can imagine, because everything was so joyous and we were not well rested and we were anyways just trying to locate ourselves and be here at the festival, and we were trying to meet our friends at the time. Maybe some of these messages have not really reached your heart or have not stayed in the heart, and therefore this morning I want to repeat them for you in simple words, and very, not simple, I would say practical words, so that you can apply them after the festival. Because I really feel meetings, our meetings should be conclusive. There should be a conclusion. There should be an effect in our life. There should be help for you. There should be, as the Bhagavatam says, fresh wind into your sails. Sorry, there's so many German devotees here that I always almost fall back into the German language. When you all came, my first lecture was, I believe, on Wednesday evening. Some of you were already there. And I wanted to talk about a conflict which has to arise in any thinking devotee, that is a conflict between his idealistic concepts, and with idealism I mean here everything which has to do with overcoming one's weaknesses and reaching an exalted spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So there is a conflict between this strand or this part in our life, our deepest desires, which are often idealistic, and on the other side, realism, the real assessment of our fallen situation, or fallen because we have already a body and a mind, and we are fallen away from that highest level of Krishna consciousness. So many devotees I have seen have not survived this inner battle in their heart, and have stopped, either stopped their spiritual sadhana, or in more often cases have severely compromised their spiritual life, and so on. So my little recommendation in that lecture is, first of all, I don't think it has to be a real battle for life and death, for spiritual life and spiritual death. I think it is a natural evolution in our thought to think, well, how can I become realistically Krishna conscious? No, I believe it will come after 10 years or 12 years, this is my observation. For those of you who are a little fast, like in my case, it came after 4.5 years or 5 years. Severe doubts that I could gain great benefit on this path. You know? Because I thought this is too high for me. I'm too too much a beginner on the spiritual path. So I personally want to say it doesn't have to be a conflict if you follow this simple formula, which I want to give you. First of all, be idealistic about your goal and be realistic about your way through which you reach the goal. In other words, a spiritual person should always believe in Krishna and in a loving God with whom he can experience the rasa, that is an exchange, even in the beginning stages. So if we cut this away from our lives, this desire to be in love with Krishna, to be related with Krishna, our life loses its spiritual orientation. Then be comes the second part, but be realistic about the way. You may not come to that high state of Krishna consciousness by adopting immediately sannyas, or you may not reach it by entering the Grihastha ashram either. You have to see what are your needs in your and how will you deal with them in a way that it is favorable for your spiritual way. So my first recommendation was be idealistic about your goal and nourish the awareness of your goal by reading, by hearing, by discussing with devotees, but realistic about the way. Very much connected with this is something which was implicit in the lecture, but I want to make it explicit, I want to make it very clear. I think you should experiment with a very, very simple but powerful spiritual principle, that is to accept things which are favorable for you to reach your goal and to reject things which are unfavorable. Unfavorable may be unrealistic situations in life where you just can't fulfill the actual needs. That was the first lecture. The second lecture is at the moment my favorite subject. It's what I think about very regularly. It's about love. I must tell you, I think so much about love these days. I think it came in Vasana. I don't know what has happened, but I think so much about this. I'm thinking about it. I'm not very advanced in it, but I want to draw your attention to this question of Maitri to her learned husband Yajñavalkya, who said, "My dear Yajñavalkya,
yes,
what are the two needs of the human being, which when they are fulfilled, leave no further need in the human life?"
Yajñavalkya went into a meditative trance. It was an important question. He wanted to dive deep into the ocean of his consciousness and bring from the ocean some jewels. Thank you. He wanted to bring some jewels, something real, something which works in life, which we can grab, which we can hold on to. And he said to his wife, "Dear wife Maitri, the human being has only two needs. When these two needs are fulfilled, all other needs are fulfilled. He wants to love and he wants to be loved." I will now translate it to our female guests, female devotees. "She wants to love and she wants to be loved." Hare Krishna. Sometimes you have to be very clear in life. This Krishna consciousness movement is an invitation, really, to fulfill the needy soul with love which will never disappoint it. That is love of Godhead. Yes, we need human relationships very, very much. It's very important in our way. But let us think a little bit about the goal and then the way. That's usually done in life. You want to first find out, where do we go? To Zagreb or do we go to Munich, Gorahari? And then according to our decision, we will find the way. So let's think for a moment about a goal. We want unlimited love. We want unlimited exchange. We want
very deep love and very fulfilling love, and that we have to exchange with Krishna. Now, how do we get there? We get there by through Krishna's devotees. It's so often said, before you can love something which you cannot yet see, like Krishna, we can't see every time, love those whom you can see, devotees of Krishna, who connected with Krishna. Yesterday, Gauran, after his very nice song, asked me, "You look so happy," and I said, "Yes, I'm loving and I am loved." It's very simple. What? Yes, I love these devotees, and they love me, and I get presents from them, and I give them presents. It's very real. I said, "What?" Yes, and I'm so enthusiastic, I could fly. Look, if you have to fly with two wings. So, this is very important, very important. I would like to say to you, start to open your closed, blocked heart to either devotees or to Krishna. I think it's best to do it to both. The way to open your hearts to Krishna is to start praying, start singing, start dancing for Krishna. No, like yesterday evening when we danced so long, some of you are very mystical, like our Siddheshwari, so you will immediately understand. But I will tell you in simple language, it was the heart chakra open like anything yesterday in the evening. And even my North German parents could feel that. Did you see my father starting to dance? I almost took him in the circle and wanted to, but then I said, no, I will break all of his bones if I start to really dance. So who knows, better let him dance in his place. So yes, it's infectious. He doesn't do these things normally. It's an infectious. Because his heart was also open. He said to me, "You know, I was sometimes crying." I said, "Good for you." yes, it's this is very necessary. To practice this, opening our heart to Krishna and opening our hearts to devotees. My dear devotees, I'm sure if you do that in your life, it will be very necessary. Then came the disciple meeting. And in the disciple meeting, I did really want to make a point, but I was not maybe so absolutely clear about it. You remember I read to you from my diary my principles by which I live my life. And I told you that if you live your life by principles and not just by mental, the ups and downs of your mind. Sometimes you feel like that, sometimes you feel like this. But if you actually accept spiritual principles in your life, you will follow the footsteps of the acharyas, and as you walk in their footprints, you will make an amazing experience. Again, I want to give my father as an example. My father just came here, but was a little nervous because it's not his audience, really. Then he said, "Can you give me any tip how I can reach these people?" And I said, "Yes, just try to think how they think. Try to walk in their footsteps. They come to celebrate your son today. So, if you wish, you can also follow in their footsteps." And Hare Krishna, Braj Biharini, good travels. So he did so, and in the evening he was like you. He danced, he laughed, he thought, Mama, now in my life I will also go to India again, he told me. You know, some realization had come by following footsteps. So I want to encourage you to read in our literature or to look at the example of devotees who inspire you, and then follow in their footsteps and make an entirely different experience. I even requested you, when you go home, don't go home alone. Have some things in your luggage which you want to do. And I told you, just like I told one of our devotees who was initiated, do that for 30 days and you have a new life. Don't give up the next day and follow again your mental patterns of sankalpa and vikalpa, means accepting and rejecting. This is what the mind does with everything, including spiritual principles and including your life, of course. So therefore we do something. I know that only two of you will do this, but next year I will talk again about the same thing, and then maybe 10 will do it. Hare Krishna. I'm a preacher, you know, I want to stir you up. So this was the other. And then came another very important message I wanted to give you, is I feel your spiritual life will be so fulfilling and so extremely happy if you start an inner life, if you explore and develop your inner space. We have given the example of a temple in the heart. And in our tradition, there are nice devotees who do this, like the Goswamis of Vrindavan, who have just who have disconnected themselves with a very prestigious outer life, and they have developed an inner life which they do. Now, I have talked throughout my life, I have talked about this, and I'm always trying to develop new, let me say, discuss it from a new aspect. A very powerful process which you can do is what I presented in the Govardhana retreat last year. It was a process which is described by Sanatana Goswami, which combines prayer, meditation, and obeisances. If you are interested in this, it's based on Krishna Lila Stava, a guidebook to enter the inner space in your heart. Prayer, meditation, and obeisances. This is an extremely powerful process, and you could learn this by ordering from the Sharanagati tape ministry, or I don't know how it's called nowadays, MP3 ministry maybe, the cassettes. It's even for free if you're poor, don't worry. So, four messages for you, how to deal with the sometimes perceived conflict. It's only a perceived conflict, it's not real, between idealism and realism. Then the two basic needs which you have, to love and be loved, and to exchange that with God, with Krishna. Then principles. I have told you what I do. I heard that here are some devotees who like to follow the examples of their spiritual masters. So there it was for you. If you could follow that, if you wish. And then the last, develop your inner life. That was our festival about. But I have not talked about one thing. Let me careful, do it like a gentleman, not like a careful. I have not talked about this. What is this? This is a boat. You can see. Oops. And what is else is there? There is a sail. And what is in the sail? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When some of you were coming, you were not coming alone. It's good here. You had brought your mind with you. I could see very clearly. And I know that our movement has changed. Most of you are living in the congregation. You are congregational devotees, technically. You have your jobs, you have your families, you have various projects and obligations, but you are wonderful devotees who do all this to serve Krishna. It's easy to make a fest. It's easy to make a festival for devotees who have already bring a high spiritual level with them, a level of which they do by book distribution, kirtan, sadhana, like anything, chanting 16 offensive rounds. They relatively go very quickly up. But many of us are so busy with our lives, and we are no longer like, we have different challenges. We are not brahmacharis and brahmacharinis any longer. Most of us, and we work or we do something for money and so on and so forth. So I was thinking, how can we bring you to a very quickly to a spiritual level? And I immediately thought of the holy name. So we had a very nice sankirtan. I think those who went in the town, was really nice with so many devotees and so nice dancing in the town on the streets of Zagreb. And then we had nice kirtans led by Ojashvi and Gadadha and Jai Gopal and others. And yesterday also we really danced like anything. And then one day we shouted Jai Nitai and Nityananda Ram. So by kirtan, you just develop another frequency in the brain. Out goes the normal thoughts, and in come a purified state of consciousness, a Krishna consciousness. So as always, my real message is, don't forget what you have experienced. The boat of the holy name was there, and I very much liked yesterday there was this very powerful boat from the spiritual world. This very powerful boat is waiting for you, the Association of Devotees. Finally, I want to express something which is difficult for me to express. Therefore, I will not do it in words. Hare Krishna. From deep, I'm a little shy to speak about my feelings because... therefore, I have to always use such unusual ways of communication. Just like you were throwing your flowers so lovingly on me flowers of love. I really want to do that also. Please, now, not every, if you want flowers, you can get them afterwards. I really I'm very, very grateful. Really, it means a lot for me. I can only try to explain it when you went through the things I had to go through the last year. Ugh. It was just heavy physical and mental suffering. And then when you are on your knees, so to say, then you really think, well, who is now there? Where can I find shelter? Who is now there? And immediately you think of the devotees. Of Krishna, the real friends, the only security in your life. Like I know, if I lose everything, I don't have much. But let us say I lose the car, I lose my legs. I mean, let us not do such dark fantasy. My projects don't work. The things which I want to do for Prabhupada, it doesn't come through. Who knows? I know there's always devotees. I can just visit them and I can say, let us sit together and read in the scriptures and chant, and I will be happy and they will be happy. I have a security in my life. And this means very much for me. Really, it means very much. And because I don't want to start to cry, I have thrown flowers on you, Hare Krishna. Dobro. Good. So, now I have ended what I wanted to say. I think it's a good time to ask any remaining questions which you have, maybe to these four subject matters which we have done. And afterwards there's a chance to distribute how do I say afterwards is a chance to give me your remaining presents. I'm a little shy because it sounds so materialistic. So I saw Velko's hands, we go through them. Jayadev's hands is there. So let us start with these two. Yes, well, can you have a Mahajwala, would you give this microphone to?
I would like to ask a question that is relevant, I think, for all the points that you made, at least for me. And this is, how can we lessen the strength of the mind that on us. The mind is always so powerful, and this is why I find it in my heart and in my spiritual practice that I have I can control the mind for a brief period of time, but then as life progresses, the mind strengthens its hold more and more, and somehow these practices then fall behind. So my question would be, because this is a marathon, not a sprint race, how do we prepare ourselves for a marathon rather than a sprint? Thank you.
Wonderful question. Thank you so much, Velko. Wonderful question. We are just preparing something for the Vedic way. It's how the mind works and how to control the mind. We talk about colors, aroma, yoga. It's for new people. And then finally mantra, of course. In the mind you have five functions, not just sankalpa and vikalpa, but there are other functions which are there. But basically the mind embraces an object and brings it from outside into the heart, and then it's so present there that you think it's you all of a sudden. You identify through it. This is done through the fiery quality in the mind. There are five qualities. Anyways, you have to come to the Vedic way if you want to learn all these. So, I can give you... I want to give you two practices to strengthen the mind. The first is a step-by-step process, and the second you know already, but I will explain it in a way that it will give you immediate effect. First of all, you must learn to detach yourself from the mind. That's something which you have to learn if you want to have spiritual life in your life. It's all spiritual disciplines, like I went through Buddhism, the mystical portions of Islam, that's the Sufi, and of course our own Vedic schools, they all initiate you into techniques where you can just become an observer of the mind. That is common thing. That's like you drive a car. You do need to know, how do I ignite the thing, you know? How do I start the thing? You have it in Japanese, Croatian, and Sastavas and Mercedes Benz. It's everywhere the same principle. So you must learn, that's everywhere, to observe your mind and to detach from the mind. That's very, very important. I don't think a spiritual practice for us as Gaudiyas could be I'm not the mind. Therefore, I have developed a practice based on Prabhupada's books, which is called I Am the Soul. You can take the Buddha Shuddhi meditations, you find them on page 156 in the Gayatri book, if I remember the right numbers, but I'm not so good in numbers, so if it's not there, look in the index, Buddha Shuddhi meditations. It's a prayer, a meditative prayer, where you go away from the world, away from the matter, and also the inner matter, the matter which, the mind stuff, and you go into the soul, and you, I am the soul, I am the soul. Then my spiritual master, or Prabhupada, in his training to me, that was the last thing he said to me. I saw him in London. I was shocked because he was so emaciated, it means thin, and I was really shocked, and I was paralyzed in my expression. I actually was so shocked that somehow I lost my dhoti. I don't know, you know, usually you don't lose your dhoti, and it's only when it's really kirtan for many hours, then it can happen, but not normal. So, and then Prabhupada, he said, well, a few others of my god brothers were there, a very small party. He looked at us very piercingly. I mean, he really wanted to make a point, you know, like when you want to make a point, you're going to... Fokusirate, you would say, you know, focus, or Madhva Muni started his program, please focus, you know. So he said, first of all, you have to understand that you are the soul. So I'm doing this, he said it, and that was a clear instruction, was spiritual. So first thing is, where go, I'm the soul. And what the mind says, well, under these circumstances, I see it like this. Under these circumstances, I see it like this. It changes. Don't we do this sometimes, you know, when we are really agitated? Like yesterday was a situation which really brought me up the walls. I said, anyways, it's only the mind. Now better you don't talk now, because only rubbish will come out of your mouth. Just wait, Sachinanda Swami, you're an eternal soul. Tomorrow you will see it differently, or you might even see it still in the same way, but you will be able to act differently. Don't we do this sometimes? Especially married people, don't you do this when there is some trouble at home, Madhumati? Then you say, better I don't talk now, or I don't take a knife in my hand. I'm joking. I know you are not like that. Are we not like this? Because we know in another day or so my mind will be, I will have a different mindset. And even if I see the same thing, see it like this, but I will be able to act differently. Only a very undeveloped person something comes to the mind, and then he blows up, and then after a day he said he's somewhere else. You have to learn. This is the first thing, and you know, and we are called Bhakti Yoga. It's something spiritual what we do. It's not that we can't act like normal people. So good. First thing, you're different from the mind. And then I do a second, I do a process, the observer process based on the Bhagavad Gita. Here I know it. Fifth chapter, text 8 to 9, if you want to read it. There it said, a person who is in spiritual consciousness sees, while he is giving things away, accepting things, going, you know, it's very private, going on in the bathroom and evacuating, horrible, that only the body and the mind act. He himself is not acting. And the third thing which I do to control my mind is, everything is under Krishna's control. Like you all might know, we really found a wonderful house near a lake. And I must say, I'm a little attached to this. What to say, I'm not a perfect person. It's so nice, you know, and if you would visit me there, you would just not want to leave it. So, but the information is that the man who rents this house is highly on the mental platform. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, Sankalpa and Vikalpa. You know, like, anyways, many of us are also on that level. At this moment, it looks as if we will not get it. But again, he's on the mental platform. Maybe tomorrow it's a yes. And then if it's a yes, we will put a pen in his hand and say, here is the piece of paper, write it down, your yes. You know. But then the news came, one devotee came to me, on your birthday I would like to give you a present, the house, but at the moment it looks, we won't get it. And first I felt my mind was going, oh no, I stayed 3 weeks in Berlin just looking at houses from morning till evening. I mean, I did also something else, but mostly looking at houses, and oh no. You know, but then I said, wait a minute, you are a spiritual person. Couldn't it be that Krishna gives a sign here? And then I said, thank you, all right. And I started to meditate, but maybe we are not yet ready. Maybe we still have to be a little bit more purified in our heart. Maybe. Or, you know, maybe Krishna is showing us something, and it becomes clear to us when we ask the Lord, when we pray, and so on. This is my third point. Behind everything is Krishna's arrangement. This is, I think, how you can control the mind. First step is detach. Second step is observe. Third step is bring Relax. Chant Hare Krishna. Third step is bring Krishna into the picture. Because once your mind contacts Krishna, it's like Krishna will control the mind. Tumi Rishikesha, praise Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I can't control my mind, but you are Rishikesh. You are the Lord of the senses, including the inner sense, the mind. What I can't do, you can certainly do. Please, my Lord, help. And this is what it says, you know, if you bring Krishna into your mind, there he has these powerful symbols on his lotus feet, which will start to work, and it will pacify the mind, it will nourish the mind, and so on. That's why we meditate about the symbols of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Yeah. So, such a good question, welcome, I'm so thankful. The other thing is, I have learned from Gaur Govinda Maharaj, whom I respect very much as a very serious Vaishnava, and he said once something very, very, he talked about forgiveness. Did you have some issues with Did you have to forgive someone in your life sometime? Yeah? Yes? Did you notice how in the beginning it was so difficult to really forgive when someone did something which really hurt you? Did you notice how difficult it is? Because the mind goes, yes, I should forgive. But! But! It's so loud, this but, isn't it? That you have to put the microphone away, you know. But! Hare Krishna, I don't want to torture you, you know. This but is so loud. Yes. But! So, it's strong, the but. It has power. It overwhelms our initial intention to forgive. It wrestles us down. It's so bad! So strong, you know. It's so strong. It has strength, you have to agree. There is some power, some energy in it, and it wrestles us down on our shoulders. So Gaur Govinda Maharaj said something which was just so beautiful. He said, the strength to forgive comes from bhajan, worshipping Krishna, because then the heart is full and you will come from a different place. When I heard this, I went like, I was in the midst of eating a pizza, and usually I love, you know, pizza. And vermicelli, this macaroni, you know. Anyways, I have a few preparations which just always, which are the best. I was just in the midst of eating pizza, and I heard this sentence, and I, wow, put the pizza again, and washed my hands, and went to the MP3 or whatever it's a CD, you know, MP3 CD, or I and I went like back, oops, and listened to it again. I listened on that day 7 times to this sentence, because he spoke apparently from realization. It had a lot of power. And then I translated it, because I'm a simple man, not very intelligent. I said, the power to defeat the strength of the bat that comes from bhajan. You need superior strength, more strength, if you want to control the mind. I mean, Avadhuta Brahmana says it has godlike powers. It's so very strong, and it can really only be defeated by God. I mean, it's not it has God light. That means it's not really God, the mind. Good luck. So bhajan makes you a contact. There is a contact with Krishna. This is, my dear devotees, because my case is hopeless, that's why I go and do bhajan. When you see Madhva Muni at this movie, it was quite embarrassing for me. But yes, I remember Madhva Muni came in and I was just chanting, and maybe you saw, my body was exhausted because I did have this pain attacks always, but then by the power of bhajan, you can control the mind and even the pain in the body, I found out. It works. Because you contact with bhajan Krishna, and then by Krishna's contact, you also get some strength to control the mind. Thank you, Veliko. You have asked a very, very important question. And now I request you, you have answered this question. Then you go now to your split. Please exercise on it with this. Please work on it. I must tell you something about Veliko and Mathuranand. Mathurananda or Mathuranand? Mathuranand. Nanda, I said so, no? Or did I say Mathurananda? Yes. They are the two transcendental twins. And I have a very favorite spot in Split where I like to sit and chant. It's in the sun, it's in an old monastery. You can overlook the Adria, and I mean, you have to come there and see it yourself. It's so good, this spot. Vikramakeshari showed it to me first, and then I always go there when I have free time, and I like it so much. And so one day I went there, and then I saw the two transcendental twins, but they had ropes, and I thought, ropes? Do you want to catch a bison or a wild horse or wild rope? No, but they were the ropes were, they were climbing on this huge, you know, cliff. It's like a cliff. It's like a mountain which goes up, and they were climbing there. And I asked them, why do you climb there? And they gave some explanation. I like climbing myself, but I'm not doing it any longer. I'm too old. I will fall down. But then I think I told you, what I have heard from mountain climbers, I once met this, do you know him? He's a very interesting person, Reinhold Messner, at the Frankfurt Book Fair. I said, why are you always doing this extreme sport and so on? And he said, my mind becomes peaceful when I'm on the mountain, because I have to only concentrate. Now the left and you know, and it's only, you are really focused. You're really focused when you do this. That's why people like this extreme sport, also like bungee jump, bungee. Thank you. Have you done? You just go like, you jump down and go like, there's only in your mind this one thing. And many people who have such crazy minds, you know, who are tortured by their minds, they do the extreme sports because of this reason. You know. So I think it's all right, you know, for every one of us needs to do some exercise, some sport. It's all right, whatever works for you. I have no comment on it. I'm for yoga, but and walking, brisk walking with fresh air. But anyway, yes, whatever works for you. But for mind control, I think we should think of spiritual means. Yes. Good. Jai Dev Prabhu. if you, I think you would have to come close, but this is not now the time to give a half hour lecture. You are asking a question, isn't it? Good, good. Ich glaube, das geht nicht bis nach hinten.
Okay, okay, okay. So, this is, by the way, one my first official question since a long time, because
you ask the question. Yes.
I find it always very, I mean, it's always very hard sometimes for the disciple also to ask official questions. So normally I like to make it in a private way. But in this case, I think the question is a thing one can give a whole seminar on it. The point is, you spoke about love and being loved. Now, I analyzed about a problem with love and being loved. The main problem, I think, is that everyone has a vision to how he or she want to be loved and how he and she want to love. This is in the relationship between of parents, for example, is the case. Between child and father, it might be in a certain kind of way. It might be between partners in a certain kind of way, that the wife say, you know, I want that you love me like this, and the husband say, I want to love you, that you love me like that. And otherwise, if you don't love the person like the person wants to be loved, your love just not reach the person. And I have also now I want to, because this is a big question, and maybe the forum of this disciple meeting is not enough. It needs a whole seminar maybe about, because there are so much categories, that you just mention in this forum what you would like to say about this. Also maybe regarding the guru-disciple relationship, where a lot of disciples, for example, get really difficulties with their guru because they even go give up the relationship with the guru because they don't feel loved anymore by the guru. Also they say, why he don't love me in the way
I want to be
loved. Yeah, I want to be loved. Yeah. And he don't seize me, you know. He only push his thing, you know. He want that...
Four points.
Yes. So he... I want to be that he sees me, you know, that he milks me, you know, melts me like a cow, you know, in a certain kind of way. But he don't make it. He say, I want to have this for you. In the same way, the guru also has his vision how he want to love, want to be loved by the disciple.
Yeah. And your question is very clear. Can I now answer it? Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much for this question. It's a very important question. I think Jayadev's question is very important to exercise or to do with these two points, to love and be loved. There's often an obstacle, Jayadev said, that a person wants to be loved his way. And the person who loves sometimes wants to love also his way, and the two ways don't meet. Right? I have to think how to express what I want to say in simple ways. That's the real eloquence. I have, you know, if there, for any exchange, and love is an exchange, the two people need to meet in some ways. If I want to talk to you, you must be in the same room. If I want to exchange with you, there must be the same language. And if I use words, these words should mean the same for me and the same for you. There must be, for any communication, there must be a meeting. So the meeting point with the guru is described. Where do I meet my guru? That's described by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. I meet him at the meeting point, a very special meeting point. I want to speak about this meeting point so that you really want to know what it is. In Frankfurt Airport, it's a big airport, it sometimes happens that people come from let us say, Spain or America, they land, and their relatives or friends from Germany come and want to meet them. But because the relatives are not so expert to find exactly the gate where that person from America comes through, there is an announcement they don't meet. The relatives from Munich, who came to receive their guests from America, are at gate number 8, and the guest from America has come through gate number 1, and they don't meet. So then, the guest from America has the opportunity to say, to go to the people who work at the airport, and then tell them, I want to meet such and such. The relatives from Germany also can say, I want to meet our relative from America. And then usually they are advised, go to the meeting point. There's a meeting point. All over the airport you find arrows, meeting point. So if you want to meet the guru, spiritual master, you need to know where is the meeting point. Where can we meet? And I really feel that this is defined by tradition. You must know, I would not have become a guru if there would not have been a tradition which tells me how I should operate, and if there wouldn't be an instruction of my spiritual master who told me, who says, do it like this, 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 and so on, and who gave a certain example. So I can only be met at this meeting point, which is given by the tradition, that is by Krishna, and by the example of my spiritual master. And the meeting point is like this. Service, question and answers, and surrender. Now, if we hear this as disciples, we go like, ooh, especially when we are 20 years in Krishna consciousness. It's something which sounds so inhuman. Hare Krishna, guten Flug, und grüß meine Eltern schön. Hare Krishna. Vielen Dank für deine glücksverheißende Gemeinschaft und deine Transformation zu einem glücklichen Gadata. Hare Krishna. Vergesst nicht die Geschenke, bitte. Ne? Ja, einfach gut. Haribo. Vielleicht, Banu Nandini, nimmst du noch eine Köstlichkeit mit aus der Küche für die beiden alten Herrschaften, dass die das zum Fassadieren haben. So wie hier. Service. Okay. Question, answers, so form. Surrender. I mean, I'm so old now. Surrender. I'm so advanced. I have my experiences. And I'm aware of this feeling in my disciples. I myself sometimes feel when I meet my spiritual master and when I understand this is the meeting point where I can meet him. Oh, I would like to go with him on a mountain tour, rafting, wild water rafting, something very personal. But I want to tell you something. The relationship gets personal when you come to the meeting point. That's the whole secret of the whole thing. I know this from my own spiritual life. When I go to the meeting point, then I meet the person there. Just like the relatives from Munich and the person from America who hear from the officials, airport officials, you have to go to the meeting point. They think, what? Meeting point? I want to meet my relative. Do you understand? I want to be a personal. Then you go to the meeting point, and there you will meet the person, and you will give your presence, and you will talk to each other. You will laugh and cry and dance together at the meeting point. I mean, this you usually only do when you're from Bosnia and you meet your Bosnian friend after a long time. But, you know, it will be personal. It is personal. So in answer to your question, which is a very good question, which Yadav has asked for the benefit of all of us, I mean, and I gave an answer, a very general answer to all of you, because the question was meant to be a question of relevance to this group. This is how you introduced your question. I really feel we must meet our spiritual master at the traditional meeting point, and there it will become very, very personal. You know, some of the devotees are personal servants. And they were, for instance, doing the Kartik Brata with me. They saw me in my ups and downs, and we had certainly personal relationships. But you can ask these devotees. They did such a hard service because it was, they were a backup team. They're cooking day and night, being ready. Because if you want to do a vrata, a serious vrata, the way I usually have people who take care of all the other things and then go really deep, because if I don't go deep, I don't find any stones, any jewels. You know. So you can ask sometimes the people with who travel with me, they have to make an appointment to talk because I'm so busy. It's amazing. But we make an appointment, we say, okay, I need to speak to you. All right, let's see when we can do it. Would it be all right tomorrow at 2 o'clock? Could we combine a walk and a talk? No, I like to sit down. All right, then please come after 3:30. And then, you know, it's like this. The meeting point is there. And any relationship needs meeting points. Those of you who are living in a partnership know if one cannot meet any longer, if they are not the same wavelengths, then that means the partnership is in a crisis. And both have to now try to find a common ground, isn't it? A common understanding, at least, from where they can start to build again. Meeting point. It's all a meeting point. So, when we have a spiritual person who, especially Jayadev, I must tell you, I'm not playing a role. I'm really committed, and I really believe in what I talk. it's me. It's not that I have no doubt in this. It's absolutely what I believe. I couldn't do it also if I have a little doubt. Thank you very much for your question. So let us see the other questions. Govinda Nandan. Nanda Dula, did I see that was an end?
About this, about his question, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Can you take the microphone? Because it will be recorded, devotees.
I've just learned something about his point that everybody wants to be loved in a certain way. And in my opinion, it's not really related to your lecture about loved and being loved. Mm-hmm. That because in our conditioned state, we have more needs than just loved and being loved. Mm-hmm. And that's what I learned. We have more, really more needs. As I understand it, loved and being loved satisfy all needs. It's really connected to spiritual dimension. Mm-hmm. That in Krishna consciousness, when we really dive yeah. deeply and we love, we yeah. are loved.
Good point.
And being loved, we are really. We can satisfy all these other needs just mm-hmm. by these two needs, but this is on a spiritual dimension. And
I would even say, Nanda Dula, we can satisfy all other needs from this platform. Yeah. This is, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in this sense, the idea of our expectations of being loved in certain way, it's not anymore. Present, because on spiritual plane, it's really mystical how we are satisfied in relationship to spiritual with spiritual person, either by spiritual master or with Krishna. I mean, it really happens. For example, what I've learned that if we have materialistic relationship, I mean, then we can tell other person. I want to be loved in this way, and this person should learn about this and give us this love. But really, when we contact on a spiritual plane with Krishna or with spiritual master, I think it happens really on different plane. That mm-hmm. we become satisfied more than our expectations really are mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. of love.
Yeah.
So it's just.
Yeah. It's not the same. In other words, when you want to have a spiritual relationship, as when you have a human and normal relationship. Huh? When you have a normal relationship, you may. And you explain, these are my needs, can you fulfill them? Click, 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 click. Or you talk about this. If not, all right. And then not. But in the spiritual level, we just enter the spiritual level and then things come to us even beyond our expectations. Yeah.
You remember you requested me for these six human needs.
Yeah.
Give you this.
Oh, for Maslow?
No, it's what you learn from coaching.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's really very nicely defined how we all have six human needs.
Yeah.
So we really indeed have more needs than when we are conditioned people than just, for example, certain.
Yeah.
We must be certain. Or have variety, or being significant, and be having love and growth, and like we have more needs.
Yeah.
Materialistic love cannot fulfill all our needs.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we are so needy. Yeah. And You can make the best marriage contract and it won't work. But you are very needy when you are needy. But spiritually, yes, this is a spiritual solution for material problem, really. And for that to work, I believe this meeting point, which is there for the tradition, is necessary. That's my experience. Please know, I have the strongest spiritual master, and I'm the most creative and speculative mind you have ever met. It's very difficult on the material platform. You know, I read Prabhupada's books. Then I know all the other commentaries already. Okay. Let me see what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says to the same verse. That's more and more. Don't think I don't have a mind. One devotee has, one of my god brothers said about me, this Sachinanda Swami is the most impossible thinker. Everything he puts into question. He is so free. He is so... There's only one chain which he has accepted. And that is Srila Prabhupada. You know, that is the only chain I have. But that's a strong chain. And I know it will save me. Because these other things... One can try to satisfy them. But you know, when the nectar of Krishna consciousness comes in the heart through the channel of surrender, and it's something beyond words, it's something beyond thought. It is given to you from the transcendental dimension. Then it's so good, and in this way we can say the needs are fulfilled because we are on another level now. Krishna. Good, it's a good thing, and you might like to discuss with Jayadev afterwards. That's good to discuss these things. Nanda Dulal is psychologically trained Jayadev. Amrita Kelly, leave Jayadev for a moment. He is psychologically trained. Yeah. Govinda Nandan. The father of Andal.
In Europe. My question is like this. Through this Vyasa Puja and especially this lecture about love and be loved, somehow for me it seems that, for me for sure, I don't know about the other devotees, that it emerged how important it is that we love devotees. And many times when we say this, when we love devotees, then usually we think love a pure devotees like you or other spiritual masters, other exalted devotees. But my question is like this, and I see it in my life and my example, then if somebody would have to love me, then he will have lots of trouble because he would see how he's doing like this and this, he's doing wrong with this and like that. So my question is actually, if you can help us with the frame, how to approach this, because you also have to deal with us, or with me, how do you approach such a person that you have to love, but is still full of inadequacies and things that are not to be loved in a way, and... so that we can also have a frame with which we can approach each other. Was this?
Yes. Uh, It's not easy, but there's an instruction in the Bhagavatam which when I remember it gives me great strength. It said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is personally satisfied. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is personally satisfied if we greet others with tolerance, with friendliness, with Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, thank you for coming. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied if we greet others with tolerance, with compassion, and with friendliness. It's really, Krishna is satisfied when we deal with this, according to these high ideals, with ordinary people. How much more he's satisfied with when we deal, you know, with this, with devotees. And Krishna is not satisfied and turns his back when we deal, especially towards devotees, with ninda. Ninda is an interesting word. It's sometimes translated as offense. And that may be a good translation, but ninda just explains that it just means I see the bad in the other person. That is ninda. There are three dimensions. When you are a beginning devotee, what is expected of you is you see the good and the bad, and you see the when you are a materialistic person, you see the good and the bad, and you criticize the bad. When you are a devotee, you see, in the beginning state, you see the good and the bad, but you prefer to see the good. And when you are a Mahabhagavat Govindanandan, you only see the good. I think the materialist should go. The materialist only sees the bad, really. You know, he may. That is better. The materialist only sees the bad in someone. For instance, I want to rent some apartment or something for the Vedic way, but I don't have any shufa. Shufa means that it shows in the German government how much is your income and how much is your outcome. I'm not a working person. So the materialist sees, oh, he is not a good person to rent with. He only sees the bad quality. He doesn't see that I'm a man with principles, that I will pay, I will not do cruel things, you know. A devotee will see in me, oh, he has no shufa, he has no material career, the Sachinanda Swami, but he is a devotee, so he will only see this. I think you have never asked me for my education. I have none. I hope I don't disappoint you. I ran away from school with 16. It doesn't matter for you. For a materialist, 60s, what do you know? You will say. You have seen that, and therefore you sometimes have to, you are excusing me if I don't know how to use a computer, and so on. But the Mahabhagavat is someone who only sees the good and magnifies whatever little good he sees. Magnifies, it makes it a big thing. We are not like this. So let us at least become devotees. We see the good and the bad, but we prefer to see the good. This is how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took care of the problems and the quarrels in the ashram. When there were two people who were just quarreling with each other, he got them together and he said, "Person A, say something good about person B." So person B, say something good about person A. So they were just really fighting the different issues. Person A said, my spiritual master wants to bring me apparently to the spiritual level here. I used to see only bad things, but now I have to see the good thing. Okay, the good thing about person B is he eats pashala. You know, they're just at the beginning, you know, trying to meet somewhere. Okay, thank you. Person B, what is good about person A? The good thing about person A is he at least sleeps in the temple. And from there, they used to say more and more, and finally they had reached a certain platform. So that's an exercise, Govindananda, to see the good in someone. And if you don't see the good in someone, sometimes it's, you know, we are like this. I really can't see anything good in this person. I have such high expectations. I'm so disappointed that my disappointment overshadows everything else. I just can't see anything good at the moment, if I'm honest. Then you should at least take shelter in this retreat, that Krishna is satisfied if you are tolerant and if you are compassionate and friendly. Or if you can't do that, then I suggest what Ravindaswaru Prabhu said. You see persons as data. Like, data means informations. I must admit to you, I hear every scream of a baby 10 times louder as you hear it. I want to make a point. I forgot the point. Okay, concentrate. And then the normal reaction is this baby is he is the incarnation of Count Dracula. But no. Nowadays, I'm trying to learn the baby needs the breast of his mother. And then my mind goes, why does the mother not understand it? But very, very often, I must say to the mothers, I'm so ignorant. I think sometimes it needs the breast of the mother, but it just had the breast of the mother, and something else is there. Maybe a pair of scissors is in the diapers, you know. or whatever. So, but you know, you see the data, the information. What is there? Why does the baby cry now? And then it needs to be solved. But your baby is the best baby. You're going back to Dubrovnik now? Seeing this, and how? What is the name of your baby? What? Tirta. Wow. May you both have a nice journey, Hare Krishna. So that's the last resort, Govindananda. When there's somebody, you must understand, well, how can he act in any other way? His childhood, his partner, his life expectations. So you can go as detailed as you want, but often it's not necessary. You just say, well, that's Balaram Das. He is like this. Is anything else in the audience? Mangala, yes, and the twin brother. Good, Mangala. Yes, it's better because then I don't have to. Then it's clear.
My question has to do with the guru and disciple relationship, and I think also many of your disciples were thinking about this question in the last year, so I thought it's maybe important. It's concerning that the guru suffers if the disciple does something wrong, and that he gets the bad karma or something. And I'm confused, what is the truth about this principle, and how should the disciple feel and think about this principle so that it doesn't just become like a bad conscience if he does something wrong, or if he perceives that he did something wrong, and that he has, like you said in the initiation lecture, just this pressure to accept this enthusiasm in spiritual life. And also, one other doubt I have is, who would want to accept spiritual master if then he thinks, oh no, whatever I do wrong, he has some pain for it?
Which normal person would like to give pain to another? Yes. Mangala, I must thank you for this question because I know it's in the mind of the devotees. Srila Prabhupada did say also in his books that the spiritual master does accept karmic reactions. It was interesting. I had prepared this verse to read it at the initiation fire, but then I decided in the last minute I just don't want to talk about this. And I must tell you, I'm not 100% sure. I talked with Radhanath Maharaj and with all my god brothers about this. How do they understand this? Do we take all the reaction? And then we thought, that would be such a... I mean, would the Lord make such an arrangement? This is a question which we... I must tell you, I'm very bewildered by this. I'm confused. Not that I have not read all the... I'm really trying to explore this. And because I'm still not sure, 100%. You know, it's something that... There is the scriptural information, but there are many informations of the scripture. Then you have to go into what is your experience. I know the first initiation ceremony which I gave, that I will never forget it. After this, I was very tired, which is unusual at that time. I had not yet eaten, and I was so tired. I just made it to the bed, and when I was just going off to sleep, I saw a cloud coming, a black cloud, just entering. I said, Krishna, protect me. I'm just doing this for your service. And then I fell asleep. I don't know what happened with the cloud. I was not sick afterwards, that I know. But the cloud has to go somewhere. Otherwise we wouldn't be able to start in seriousness. So I can't give an answer. And most probably if I would know the answer, but I really don't know the answer, I would not like to talk about it. Let's talk about something else. This is a difficult subject. I just can't imagine that it goes. And I was remembering, I was together with 6 years ago, when the Tamakrishna Maharaj still, when was he with us? 8 years ago? Maybe we met in Vrindavan. Krishna Chaitra Prabhu, Tamakrishna Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, Burijan Prabhu, Danudas Swami, all us friends, you know. We always used to stay up all night and discuss in the night. And then do kirtan and then read from the scripture. We used to do that on Ekadasi, not every night, only Ekadasi night. And one of us was collecting subjects which we wanted to discuss, and that was on the discussion list with your question. And we didn't come to a conclusion, I know. And we, not that we didn't know all the scripture. Here it says this, here it says this, here it says that. I personally, I know what Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj did. He was very much convinced of taking that reactions go to him. But he said, therefore in our tradition, there is when a disciple doesn't follow any longer, the relationship is absolved or is removed. That's what he did. He said, in other words, yes, he said, yes, you suffer if there is a connection. But I don't know, Mangala. I really don't know. And maybe I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Just like I don't want to learn a computer or so, because I feel the whole mood of Mahaprabhu's movement is compassion, serving others, trying to do it, and when there is something which is problematic, then Krishna has to take care. I have given my life to Krishna by, you know, that's my understanding of my spiritual, and I want to live my spiritual life like this. I do my best, and if there is a problem which I can't solve, my father is there. He can solve our problems. This is how I see it. Now, really, honestly, and I really want to live like this. That's my reality. What can I solve? I cannot solve. I can't even digest every meal. I'm so incompetent, you know. So, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That's how I live my life, and therefore I don't want to know these complicated things. I just don't want to find an answer. I find there is a break in me which says, no, here in this area I don't want to research so conclusively. And I have talked to some of my friends, my devotion said, is it all right if I think like this? And they said, yeah, we also try like this. So therefore, when I heard there was a discussion on the disciple conference about the subject, I did not want to enter the discussion. Anyways, I also think, let disciples discuss amongst themselves. I should not even know. They should be free. They should not feel, oh, the eyes of the state are everywhere, you know. But I know, I heard that there was some discussion. Good. There was another question, Maturananda. Yes. Please speak into the microphone.
Hare Krishna. You said that Mahabhagavata only sees good. He doesn't see the bad. But
like Lord Shiva, that's why he has sometimes devotees which no one else would accept.
But we can see, even in examples of spiritual masters whose service is to guide the devotees, and is it necessary for them to see the bad, the faults, in order to rectify them? And in this sense, is there any other service where this is also required, and how to approach it?
You want to know my secrets? No, Prabhupada said a spiritual master has to see the bad, the things of his disciples, and he has to correct them, because if he wouldn't correct them, who would correct them? And I must tell you, it's a very thankless task. You see the bad, and you know now you have it's your duty. That's why you get prasadam, to try to help this person to see it. But it's always, you know, there's always the thin line. How much can you say without hurting the ego of the disciple, so that he cannot hear any longer anything? It just goes, you know. And that's in German we say ein Eiertanz, ein elender Eiertanz. That's a Hamburg German, so no need to translate it. It's a very, very difficult, and I'm not doing very well in this. I like to tell what I see, you know, in an uncomplicated way. But then you hurt a person, and that's the last thing you want to do in the universe, to hurt the person whom you, after all, you'd say it only to help him. If you wouldn't care, you say, yes, it's so, yes, it's your life, yes, yes. Do as you think you should do, but no, you have to correct. That's how I understand this. And sometimes you correct by looking at someone, then sometimes you correct by behaving in a certain way, sometimes you correct by maybe saying someone else, should you, why don't you go and speak with the devotee what you perceive? And there are many things you can do. Best, I believe, very good is if you can be with disciples and bring them in a learning situation where they themselves can see something. But for that, you need to have only a very few disciples whom you really know very well and who understand you very well on the human planet, who don't misunderstand you and so on. So then you instruct them with a word. You say, this is... Sometimes you... Mostly I try to give lectures which are addressing certain issues of spiritual practice and certain obstacles. And this is how I think how I do my service mostly. And those whom I know, those who do service with me, we are sometimes in the same situation, and I can tell them, see, in this situation this happened to you, and the same situation came, but you acted differently, and this happened to you. Now can you see what is the best way of action? And mostly they can see. If they can't see, you can say a few sentences, and then, oh yeah, I get it, I understand it. You said in relation, your question had two parts. What was the second part, Maturananda?
Do you know of any other service other than being a spiritual master that also would require for a person to be aware of the both sides?
Yeah, it's always when you lead any project and take responsibility, then you have to be aware. This is how it should be done. You should know first of all how it should be done, and then you should tell Prabhu, you just did a mistake here. See, this is the reaction of your mistake. Please do it like this, then there will be another consequence. Any time, anything which you do, where you take responsibility. But you all know, very few devotees like to take any longer responsibility, because you know it involves, you have to deal, you have to make a project happen, and that means you have to deal with many people, and you have to correct them, and it's such a thankless task in Kali Yuga to correct someone. It's very thankless, because nowadays Nanda Dula spoke about the human need of security, and people are now so insecure that when you give a little, they think you don't like them, you know, because they are already so insecure. So it's not so easy if you can avoid it. No, No, we need leaders, you know. Don't avoid taking responsibility. You grow when you take responsibility. So, good. I think now we should take prasadam. Is that a good idea? I don't know. Is prasadam ready? Let us see. Or what was the plan, Radha? No, we have our... Do you know? Krishna Jivani, today is not your day. The day where you take responsibility. Yeah, we will find out. I wanted to say something at the end. In 10 minutes, good. 5 to 10 minutes, yes. Let me thank you once again very, very, very much for this wonderful festival. I really felt Nityananda's appearance day, Lord Nityananda manifested some of his unusual Shakti. I also must tell this, I didn't want to tell it yesterday because I was so overwhelmed, but that theater play was so wonderful. Jayadev, remember you said, Krishna saved my life. Isn't it? That was... Do I remember something like... We did it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. It was so nice. I really am so grateful to our Bhagavati who really... See, no spiritual movement can survive without culture. In the early days we had Jayadev's Kleinkunst, which was Kleinkunst, oder wie war das bei ihr? Klein, ja. What? Ja. Yeah. Oh, Jayan, if you should, it's possible if you contact Bhagavati, she has DVDs. I don't know if she has, but they are available, isn't it? They are available. We have about, what, four now? Four, five? Or? We feel a place. I think maybe four, five or so. Some. We have some. Yes, but they're becoming better, the dialogues. And see, it's so... I used to grow up on Jayadev Kleinkunst. I needed that. You always saw me in the first row, and I was just a theater visitor, you know. Wow, he's so good, and now he plays the guitar, and now he this, and this thoughtful... point comes out so nice, and now we have I hope one day we have again Jayadev Kleinkunst. It's so good here also. It's modern. It's modern. It's super. Yeah. It really makes you think, and sometimes you die from laughter, which is necessary. Humor us. Yeah. We want Jayadev Kleinkunst. obviously I very much relish the Vrindavan theater. And did you notice there was a point? I mean, I don't want to tell you all the insights which I learned. I spoke with some theaters. The devotees told me that they were not under control any longer. At one stage, they didn't know where they were going with their, because so many lines, and then they had to speak Bridge Bhasa, isn't it? You had to speak a new language, learn a new language, and so on, and then the whole event and the whole kirtans, you anyways have no mind for anything after dancing for 1 hour like crazy, you know. But Krishna is appearing in these leelas. That's the whole idea. That's why they are made. To bring the divine, to give the divine a platform to manifest. And I can see Bhagavati goes deeper and deeper into it and studies it, and soon we will, I don't know, we will see what Krishna has in mind with our Bhagavati's theater plays. Yeah. I think ultimately one needs a troupe, you know, when you always 2 hours before or 2 days before the event, you just bring them together. That's really a Hare Krishna style. But anyways, it's wonderful, but it must be a lot of stress, you know, for poor Bhagavati. Or for, and I wouldn't say it's a lot of focus. Hare Krishna. Dobro. So, all the best for you. Hare Krishna. You can now continue with Prasadam and Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Nityananda Rama ki, Jai Jai Sri Radhe,
I'm sorry.